So let's get this guy on here. We didn't have him for much time last week. Let's see if we can wring every possible minute out of him for this week. And that is the host of the NFL Matchup Show and the author of Philly Special, Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Joe.
How you doing, Sal?
All right, Sal.
I'm doing good. I'm down here in Tampa getting ready for the week two on the road. You know, they were on the road last year, week two, and nearly beat the Chiefs. So it's an interesting dynamic for this team. They've been off for a while. I think they've come to the conclusion that they had to settle early on this week, that Nick Foles was the quarterback to settle everybody down and get him up to speed of where he needs to be going into this football game.
All right, well, let's go with that then. They're playing a team that had an unexpected victory last week, Sal. And as a result of that, Joe and I have been talking about week one overreactions on the show this week, and I think one of them is this point spread. And I know you don't dally in point spreads very often, but it's an indication that all of a sudden everybody thinks the Bucs are closer to arriving than they thought a week ago. But I think it's just which Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up. I mean, he is a schizoid man. And if the right one shows up in terms of the Eagles, I think the Eagles should be, they should be able to win this game with, I'll say, minimal fanfare tomorrow.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's about who you're matched up against, the quarterback versus the defensive coordinator. Historically, the Saints have always played pinball football in the Superdome. They always try to outscore the opposition. They're not too interested in stopping the opposition. You got to remember the Bucs gave up 40 points last week. So, you know, I like the matchup of Ryan Fitzpatrick versus Jim Schwartz in this defense. This defense is totally for real. When you limit the Falcons, who are coming in hungry for revenge, to just 12 points and back-to-back games, the Falcons visit the link and Julio Jones does not get into the end zone, that's saying a lot. And I think the number one matchup in this game that favors the Eagles is Jim Schwartz and this defense against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Bucs offense. Now, having said that, you know, Mike Evans is a player. DeSean Jackson looks like he's going to play. O.J. Howard is a football player, a dynamic football player. We all know about Chris Godwin. You know, he's got a lot of local ties to Philadelphia. He can play. So they're going to have their hands full, but I think overwhelmingly favored in this situation is the Eagles front seven against the Bucs offensive line. They will get pressure on Fitzpatrick, and Fitzpatrick definitely will not have as much success as he had last week.
Sal, it feels like one of the constants every time DeSean Jackson plays against Philadelphia since he's left is that he has a big game. Why does he get up for these games, and why does he perform so well in these games against the Eagles? And is there a chance that there's an encore performance of that coming up on Sunday?
Man, you get fired by somebody, you want to go back, and you want to do everything you can to compete hard against them and beat them. That's just the nature of professional sports. It's the nature of anything. Resentment is the rocket fuel of success. That's something Frank Sinatra said way back when. I don't know when, but he said it. And there's no question that he gets up to play the birds. I'll just flat out say it. The Eagles would have been much better off keeping DeSean Jackson all these years.
Right. Right. That was certainly one of the talent drains that happened in the Chip Kelly era that set the Eagles back a little bit. But I just think the three-point number for tomorrow, Sal, Eagle team that I thought the preseason they compressed their preseason in their first three quarters last week, and then they started with Jay Ajayi. I think Ajayi should have a good game tomorrow, and the Eagles could just, I think if they weather that first quarter storm of the new Buccaneers, I think the last three quarters they should be able to impose their will.
I'm going to politely disagree with you, Pat. I think the 3-point line is accurate. I think it's hard to win on the road in the NFL. I think the 3-point number is a reflection of Foles starting over Wentz. The Eagles have really have been hard pressed to come by points and big yards, and I think they settled on Foles and made an announcement on Foles, and Peterson certainly admitted to this a little bit on Wednesday. because the ambivalence over the quarterback position was hurting Foles and the team. But be that as it may, I think, you know, and I'm loath to criticize Doug Peterson. You know that. I'm very, very rarely do I disagree with any moves that he makes. But starting Darren Sproles in the first half and making his presence, which seemed to be game plan specific against the Falcons defense that has been vulnerable historically to running back receptions, I don't understand why he didn't use Corey Clement more. Corey Clement was on the field for 18% of the snaps, and I don't believe he had a single target in the game. So I think Clement, more than Sproles or Ajayi, is the future of the running back position for this team in 2018, and I hope that he uses Clement. I don't know why he used Sproles over Clement. Sproles just looked pedestrian. I think he couldn't find any kind of openings. They were there. This team's got a great offensive line. And the running game, I think, is shortchanged right now. I've said it all along. I thought LeGarrette Blount should have come back. They should have found a way to squeeze him in the cap. He needs to be on this team, needed to be on this team. And I think they're trying to fix it. And if they can't run the ball without Wentz, you know, they're going to struggle to continue to struggle scoring points with no Alshon Jeffrey on the football field.
So that leads perfectly into what I was going to talk about next here, which is Tampa is depleted in the secondary a little bit with Hargraves going on injured reserve. Brent Grimes is not going to be available for this game. What's this going to look like? Is this a get-right game for the Eagles wide receivers, even without Alshon Jeffrey? Is Tampa going to try to lock in on taking away Zach Ertz? How does this play out as far as you see it?
You know, Joe, I don't know whether or not it's a get-right game because you just don't know what you have in this passing game. Now, you know, for the matchup show, I went back and I looked specifically at Mike Wallace. Mike Wallace was open several times down the field, and Nick Foles didn't see him. If you listen to the radio broadcast of the Eagles game on Thursday night, Mike Quick kept saying, Nick Foles is not seeing the whole field. He said it three, four, five times. Nick Foles is not seeing the whole field. Wow. I took that as a code that players, that receivers were open and he wasn't seeing them. So I went back and I looked at it and Wallace was open. There were a couple of times where Wallace was not open and I thought Wallace made a half-hearted effort to go after passes that were catchable. But Wallace was open down the field and they need to take some shots down the field against this depleted secondary. You got two rookies, Carlton Davis III and MJ Stewart, who are going to figure largely in the secondary for the Bucs tomorrow afternoon. You should, and Jordan Whitehead, don't forget, the backup safety. So you got three rookies in their secondary. And that should be a difference maker for the Eagles in the passing game. But Foles needs to take shots, and he needs to throw guys open, which he did in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl, but that was with Torrey Smith in the NFC Championship game and Alshon Jeffrey, right, and then Alshon Jeffrey in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I believe, and I'll say this over and over again, the decision to have Wentz and Foles split the first team snaps 50-50 throughout the preseason right up to week one was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Foles should have been out there getting all of the snaps with the first-team offense and getting some semblance of chemistry with Mike Wallace, which was not evident at all Thursday night.
All right. Well, we'll see if they can pick that up. Yeah, you're right. There's still elements of the preseason going on here. But Sal Powell, the author of Philly Special, the inside story of how the Philadelphia Eagles won their first Super Bowl championships on Amazon.Prime. There's even a Kindle edition. All right, Sal, let's get around the league here a little bit. What I want to do is I'm going to hit you with some teams, and I want you to play a psychologist here. and just give me a sentence or two about what the hell's going on and whether there's any week one worries here.
Pat, you got to calm down. It's just week two, Pat. Relax a little bit. Hey. Joe, you got to get him a latte or something.
He's got to last the season, Sal. It's going to be tough.
Come on, Joe. It's up to you, Joe. You're the rookie. You got to make sure that the veteran is taken care of.
That's right. Let's go. I have the Steelers. Why are the Steelers so atrocious or sloppy on the road? And how much is this Le'Veon Bell situation bothering this locker room?
I'm not as close to it to answer the second question specifically. I can just do it from a schematic standpoint, having watched. Ben Roethlisberger is not the same quarterback. Very few quarterbacks in the NFL are the same quarterback. Without a complimentary running back, without being able to have balance on offense. And you saw it in Nick Foles. They could not run a lick on Thursday night. And when you have to rely solely on your quarterback, it's an issue, even if you have Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
So the Browns' defense is much better. We all know that. Their pass rush is better. We all know that. They have Greg Williams now, who's not afraid to come after the quarterback. We all know that. So now that he has people to do it, Greg Williams is dialing up the blitz left and right, and they were all over Big Ben. So I don't think it's any kind of mystery at all, Pat. You can't run the ball. The defensive coordinator is going to be in your kitchen all game long.
I think it was more to it in the sense that they did run the ball okay last week. It's just that they're on the road, Sal. They are terrible on the road. I don't know what it is about that team that they're
not. Well, I'll tell you what. They're home this week against the Chiefs, right?
Right.
I think they're going to lose. I think the Chiefs are going to beat them.
All right. That's interesting. That's probably the marquee game tomorrow, and I think that's very interesting. Of course, they get September Andy, as I referred to him early on. and he's way different than January Andy. So you're right. I think there's worry there. The Steelers could end up 0-1-1 after 2 weeks. All right, so how about Monday night? Just tell me. Just give me a sentence or two and offer whatever ray of sunshine you can for a Detroit Lions fan. What the hell was that on Monday night in Matt Patricia's debut?
I have no idea at all. They looked like they were dazed, confused, had no plan. Whatever plan they had was being tipped off badly, and the Jets knew exactly what was coming. Every time Matt Stafford dropped back to pass, two Jets defenders were there to greet the ball when it got into the secondary. Or in the flat, or in the shallow crosses. He didn't have any passing lanes whatsoever opened up. I'll say this too. We've seen it here. You see it all over the NFL. When the team has belief that the starting quarterback is either A, productive, or B, the future, and they believe in him, they play better.
Yeah.
They just do.
Right.
And this Jets team believes in Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Yep. And I remember during the draft being skeptical about Darnold because of his age, A, and B, the turnovers at USC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm converted.
All right.
I'm totally converted. I think the way he has handled himself has been absolutely first rate.
All right. And then we'll segue from that to the one other game I want to, week two game I want you to talk about. And that is, like Joe and I were talking about, you know, nobody wants that dreaded 0-2 out of the gate. Well, you got the Cowboys hosting the Giants tomorrow night, Sal. And both are 0-1. One of them is going to be 0-2. And I thought both looked very nondescript. You know, the Giants had all that preseason hype because they drafted Saquon Barkley. They did not draft the quarterback. They drafted Barkley, and then the Cowboys, Sal, offensively, they look Neanderthal. What are your thoughts on who's got the upper hand in this game tomorrow night?
Well, we all predicted it, right, guys? We said without Dez Bryant and Jason Witten, you can't control the middle of the field, and that's going to give you a problem. You know, the NFL right now is predicated on controlling the middle of the field in the passing game because of the way they're calling penalties. If you can't control the middle of the field and now the safeties are nosing down in the box to try to stop Ezekiel Elliott, that's simple math. Too many numbers in the box. That stops the running game. That puts more pressure on your quarterback, and you don't have the safety blanket. He's in the Monday Night Football booth. So that's real simple to figure out.
Right.
And as for the Giants, I don't know. You got there's a lot of stuff available for Eli Manning. They should be scoring a lot of points.
Right.
They just should be. And I think the Giants will beat the Cowboys. They always go down there and play the Cowboys pretty tough down there. The same with the Birds.
Right.
The Cowboys don't like the Eagles or the Giants coming down there.
Right.
They just don't.
Now, that's interesting because, Joe, the Giants do have a lot of talent, like Sal says. And they were up against the Jags team last week.
But I'm also watching Ereck Flowers literally trying to trip a guy as he can't get hands on him. Yeah. So, I mean, that offensive line could be a big problem.
Yeah.
That is true. The right side of the offensive line has not been solved. There's no question about that, Joe. There's no question.
All right, listen, Sal, we're up.
Hey, listen, you know what you do? You line up a tight end or a back on that side. You help Ereck Flowers out until you figure it out, or until you figure it out as an offense.
Right.
You play small ball, hoping something opens up.
Let's figure out the top five this week, Sal. Brought to you by the good folks, Mike Booth, Pat McConney from Annie Mac Home Mortgage. Pat's a licensed loan originator in PA, New Jersey. So if you're thinking about buying a home, refinancing your existing mortgage, give Pat a call so we can hold your hand throughout the whole process, Joe. There you go. You can reach him at 267-474-6379. That's 267-474-6379. Annie Mac is an Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 338923. All right. Yeah, Sal was yelling, I need to lighten it up, so I'm going to lighten it up a little bit here in this top five. The Eagles have an attractive road schedule, and they travel so well. So I want you two guys, two veteran travelers, to rank for me the five most attractive road venues for an Eagle fan to want to go see a game this year. All right, Sal, why don't you go first?
All right. I'm going to let Joe go first this time.
Okay.
I went first last week.
All right. So I'll go number five, the Dallas Cowboys. It's late in the season. Chances are Dallas' season is over by then, so you're going to see them go down with a whimper, and you get to enjoy, watching that. It's like a victory parade for the Eagles early in the season. Enjoy that. Number four, Los Angeles Rams. Head out to the West Coast. Yeah. It's a big game. It's going to get better, okay? Number three, Jacksonville in London. Obviously, the vacation of all the vacations. This one takes a little bit more planning. It's going to require a little bit more, but I think that's going to be worthwhile. It's going to be pretty cool. Number two, my favorite city to visit in the United States. Take on the Tennessee Titans. Go down to Nashville. Not necessarily the biggest implication game. Right. However, in terms of the vacation, everything like that, I would get the most out of that. And number one, going down to New Orleans, taking on the Saints, a potential NFC championship matchup against the Saints at home. That environment, that experience, it's going to be a big test for the Eagles. That's going to be, I think, overall the top road experience for the Birds.
All right, Sal.
That's a good one. That's a good list. I'm going to go number one, London. Number two, L.A. Number three, Nashville. Number four, New Orleans, and number five, Dallas.
All right. I mean, I was close to Sal. I had Dallas five. I had Tampa, where you are tomorrow. I mean, that's a good trip, right?
Sure.
Tampa's a good trip, but September, it's hot here.
Yeah,
it's
true.
It's hot. You want to come to Tampa in December. Yeah. That would be a good road trip for Eagles fans. My plane yesterday was all Eagles fans.
Is that a pickle juice game tomorrow, Sal? Is that supposed to be very hot there tomorrow?
Yes, high 90s. It'll feel like 100 at 1 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that might make me think about my pick then. I don't know. I have Jacksonville third, the London game, New Orleans second, and then Joey T, week 15, that's the NFC Championship preview right there, the Rams in Los Angeles. That's just like last year, Sal. It's really a repeat of it. That could be a monumental game. Come week 15 against the Rams.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it was that late in the season.
Yeah.
It's week 15. That will be for the number one seed.
Yeah, it's a Sunday night game. So, all right.
Yeah, that will determine whether the NFC Championship game is at the Link or in L.A. or in La La Land.
Right.